Culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
Greatest minds from around the world. This is the Nerds That Know. Stash here along with two of my co-hosts, but where?
Three.
But where is the phone?
There's three of us with three. You tonight, three. Stash. Learn how to count with your shoes on.
I know how to count, guys. I can. I just choose not to.
Math is hard.
Or math.
It can be.
Because numbers.
Okay.
It's okay, Stash. Bobby is here to make fun of you and remind you that you are loved. Because if you were not loved, I would not mock you nearly as much.
That's true. I expect such a thing. Well, we have been gone for a while, and dear God, has the news accumulated. So many things, guys. So many things.
Well, we're finally getting to the point where people are calming down a bit with the delays on everything that was supposed to be coming out. And we have announcements and updates and new trailers and, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. So let's go ahead and jump right in to DC. Oh, my fuck. Do they have 100 things happening right now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they did do a 12-hour stream, so they had to fill it up with something.
And they filled it with a lot of something.
With them deciding not to do San Diego Comic-Con. 24 hours.
Yeah, it was 24. I think, like, total it was, like, 25. But I was like, 12 doesn't seem right.
Honestly, San Diego Comic-Con was not the success that, you know, anybody wanted it to be. You know, it was like a giant series of TED Talks.
I just don't think anyone's got the video con down yet. It's just weird. It doesn't work right. You got people logging in at different speeds. It's not a good formula yet.
No, and it's nobody's fault. It's the formula's not there. And so DC deciding not to be a part of that, I kind of don't blame them. But since they decided not to be a part of that, they did decide to have their own little, hey, look at me spotlight moment. And holy hell, do they have 100 things happening.
Well, if I'm being honest, they did the best job so far of doing this video style meetup presentation.
Tank, you are not wrong.
I mean, no one else has come anywhere near the amount of exposure everyone's been talking about DC this week.
Yeah, and we're no exception to that rule because they have so much going on. You know, so let's take it one piece at a time. All right? We're obviously going to start with Wonder Woman because I'm the one talking. So, new Wonder Woman trailer dropped. And there's been a lot of talk about Cheetah.
What is our resident Wonder Woman opinion?
I'm still going back to our previous discussion of they really didn't need to bring, you know, a love interest into this, let alone, you know, they haven't explained how exactly you know, he's there. You know, that whole scene where he's like, what, does everybody just parachute now? Is that why we have parachute pants? You know, or, like, there's still no reason why he's there. And I don't think he needs to be there. I don't think, based on the preview so far, he's adding anything to it. However, if you cut all of the scenes so far from the previews of the there's a boy in the picture and oh my god, that makes Wonder Woman super fabulous and more feminine, it looks really good. It actually goes more into her origins and into her training and shows her life, you know, when she was still a child and, you know, all of the different things that go into her becoming who she is and why she is. And that has me interested. This new trailer has me more excited about it. Plus, listening to Kristen Wiig's perspective about Cheetah and, you know, knowing what their dynamics are in the comics has me excited, because it looks like they're actually staying close to that. You know, with the love-hate relationship that those two have.
Well, and even in the preview, you see Kristen Wiig progressively change into her character. Because you see, like, this move from, like, you know, mild manner to outright jungle queen tail, you know, in this, like, feral fight with Wonder Woman. It's actually very impressive of a trailer from that standpoint.
Agreed. And I think if you just focus on the aspects of just Wonder Woman and Cheetah, you know, Linda Carter, you know, looks really good. You know, Linda Carter. Diana Prince, sorry, I'm looking at an article at the same time. Diana Prince looks really good.
I'm like,
that was Linda Carter? Holy
Linda shit. Carter looks fucking fantastic.
Linda Carter does look really hot.
Yes, no, no, Diana Prince looks really good. You know, and the way that Diana Prince is evolving, you know, but this movie does bring into, you know, does call some things into play of when you Batman calls her out at the beginning of Justice League, when he's like, hey, you haven't done anything since your man died. So does it mean that her man's died twice now? Or, like what's the situation? Because he shows her that picture from...
We can only hope.
You know, from World War One. But obviously he's around in the 80s. So what's the what?
Comic book
his fanny pack decided to say, screw you and get off.
And that works too. So,
yeah,
speaking of...
I think they just were afraid she couldn't carry a film on her own. They threw in the man meat for, you know, eye candy, and they're just keeping their fingers crossed. I'm hoping he has, like, zero to negative interaction in this film. We've seen his role in the previews, and that's it. That would make me happy.
He's Chris Pine.
But his character isn't relevant. He
it
was.
It doesn't matter that he's relevant. Pine's relevant.
Okay, Chris Pine is lovely. I get it. Like, don't get me wrong. I watched the whole mini series of I Am Night. That was on, what was it, TNT?
Yeah.
That was on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yo, and he did a really good job in that. Yo.
Well, I'm not even saying from like a. You know, standing for Chris Pine. I'm saying that Chris Pine has a huge amount of relevancy in, honestly, nerd culture in general.
No, in the genre. So I get that.
He gets exposure just because he is who he is.
And I'm
guessing that's the only reason he's in it.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but his character is irrelevant at this point.
Oh, 100% pointless.
So,
yeah, his character is completely pointless in the movie, but that doesn't matter to the people that made the movie.
Well, just keep watching the prices.
What was that?
Nope. I said, but I'd keep an eye out on the prices for Cheetah's first appearance versus Steve's first appearance, because those prices are going to jump.
Well, and she's a huge draw, and she's going to be a huge part of... I don't see him being a big part of him. He's going to be a background character, I'm guessing. They're going to have some weird reason that he came back. He's going to be part of the background.
You know, so far, what I've seen from him in the previews, the only part that I'm like, ha, that's amusing, is when she's helping him pick out something to wear. And it's a similar, you know, it's the whole role reversal scene from when, you know, they're helping her find something to wear right after she leaves Themyscira.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that whole we can do better kind of moment.
Yeah, I think he's arm candy. There's no other way to put it.
I mean, but in the preview, it does have him flying the plane instead of her flying the plane.
Yeah, because she's going to be doing something way more badass, so he doesn't get killed, he gets stuck in the airplane.
I get that, but she has the ability and the know-how to fly a jet. She's gifted a jet by the gods later. Never mind. Doesn't matter. Moving on.
I don't disagree with you. Well, he also knows how to fly a jet.
You need someone to crash the plane. That's going to be him.
And he doesn't know how to fight gods.
True. This is all true. I'm just irked that he's there. And so instead I'm focusing on the fact that I like that they're keeping the love-hate relationship between Wonder Woman and Cheetah, because it's looking like it's going to be a really intense, epic battle between them and not a chick fight.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Yeah.
I mean, with like elbows and hair pulling.
Yeah, I don't want them to like scratch each other and be like, eh! Because, you know.
Based on the footage that they showed, it's going to be an amazing fight.
That's what I'm saying. It looks like it's going to be epic. It doesn't look like it's going to be a chick fight, which,
no,
if we continue down the DC lineup and everything, Suicide Squad and Harley Quinn, you know, does kind of have that track record of chick fight.
I'm going to be honest. The reason I want to see Suicide Squad 2 or The Suicide Squad or whatever title you want to put to it is because John Cena's playing Peacemaker.
The cast for this looks fucking ridiculous.
John Cena as the prick version of Captain America seems like it would be awesome.
Can you say Batman Forever?
I mean, just...
That bad?
No, this looks so bad. So bad. Yes, come on, it's Batman Forever, guys. Just embrace it now. This is a garbage fire that you and I are going to sit back and fucking laugh our asses off.
But we're
this
all going to watch it. We are all going to fucking watch it. Don't lie.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, okay.
Oh,
so,
of course, because
no,
it's a garbage fire. Exactly right.
Here's the
I'm
question.
The s'mores.
How bad of a bat... like, is this going to be like... You know, Batman Forever, we're dealing with Arnold Schwarzenegger as, like, you know, singing the what's the, I'm Mr. White Christmas? Or are we going to be dealing with, like, George Clooney and rubber nipples bad? Like that's the question. Like, what level of bad are we dealing
all
with?
All of the above.
Because, like, the cast...
Polka Dot Man. Are you kidding me? Polka Dot Man. That's all I gotta say. That's an indication right there.
I mean, the list is ridiculous.
Dotted Man.
The list is ridiculous. The list is ridiculous.
Oh, I'm thrilled about Polka Dot Man. I never thought. I mean, Deadshot's one thing, but Polka Dot Man? For Calendar Man and Condiment Man to come in out of the other side with him, and we're gonna have a party together.
Calendar Man is a boss.
I mean, the only Calendar Man should be in there. What we are looking at is cannon fodder for the film. Half of these characters are gonna get wiped out. The one that I'm betting that'll do the singing number is gonna be Peter Capaldi as the thinker, who's, I mean, his superpower is thinking.
Really? You don't think Nathan Fillion's going to get up there and do a complete, like, you know, hey, look at me. I'm going to be a complete, total asshat on this screen just because I can? Because I think he will.
I think
Nathan Fillion would totally get up there and just make a complete fool of himself for funsies.
Well, probably. It's going to be a fight for Hamville between Nathan Fillion and Peter Capaldi.
Okay, that I will give you. Like, wow. I think we need to. Are we having a bet here?
I put my money on Fillion on this one.
All right. All right, Tank says Fillion. Smurf, if you're going to say Capaldi, we can put a 5 on it right now.
We're just saying the two of them.
I'll think about it.
Money where your mouth is, my friend.
Hey, I don't know yet. Maybe. I don't know. I forgot who Fillion was even playing.
TDK.
Who was he playing? I don't remember. Who was
it? On the lineup, it has Nathan Fillion, TDK.
Technical knockout? That's not even a character.
Yeah, I was somewhat curious. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm curious as to what the fuck he's going to be doing and what kind of goofball he's going to be.
Playing Floyd.
Cannon fodder. He walks off a plane and gets blown up. I mean, he can't be any worse than, like, Deadpool's characters get wiped out.
Whose name is Floyd, though? Tony. Floyd.
All right. Well, we'll get back to the betting pool later, because so far Smurf has managed to win some stash cash. We'll see what happens between Smurf and Tank. Yeah. All right. So that's the Suicide Squad cast reveal.
Are
all
they going right. to make Fillion Deadshot to replace Will Smith? Because isn't that Deadshot's real name? It's Floyd, right? Floyd
it Mom? Is. It
I
is.
Don't, there's a couple of characters that could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but if they replace Will Smith with Nathan Fillion, I mean... I love me some Nathan Fillion. Please don't get me wrong. But to replace Will Smith with Nathan Fillion?
They didn't replace Will Smith with Nathan Fillion. They replaced Will Smith with Idris Elba.
Okay. Sorry.
Maybe a different character, but that's the replacement.
Oh.
I guess originally he was supposed to be Arm Fall Off Boy. So I guess he first appeared. No, he first appeared in Secret Origins number 46. Yes, back in 1989. So that's how come he's like he rings a bell, but he really doesn't. But his character is Arm Fall Off Boy from Secret Origins 46. Deep dive into the 80s for that one, folks. Congratulations.
So he's definitely going to be the app, right? I mean, his arm.
Literally, he rips off his arm. Yes, he rips off his arm and beats you with it. Is literally what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll
be fun. Well, yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. All right. What else is happening with DC?
For the first time, I'm more excited to see John Cena.
Oh my god! I can't wait for John Cena on this. He's going to be the best to be just that idiot asshole. Super patriot character. He's perfect for that, I think. To be honest, he might be the most perfectly cast character in this movie.
Yep.
I still hate him.
Cena just wants a franchise. He doesn't care. He just wants a franchise. He wants to be The Rock. He is so there pissed off at The Rock. And he's doing whatever it takes. He doesn't care.
He just wants the recognition of being to The Rock.
Exactly it. He is the King Kong Bundy of the WWF. Let's just face it. You're like, oh, okay. There you go.
I mean, if nothing else, his memes are funny, but as a person, fuck that guy. Fuck wrestlers who want to be athletes.
Yeah,
what's
as a person,
deal with that? I'm sorry?
He said as a person,
as a person
he's funny.
He's funny, yeah. He just can't act. He's not talented that way. He means well. But you know what they say about good intentions?
And
yeah. He was pretty funny in Chicken Blockers.
Chicken Blockers?
Oh my. You mean Cock Blockers?
I'm gonna like,
I know
oh
what
my god.
I'm being an ass because of that. That's what my.
Oh my
mother,
god. We have kids though. I can completely understand it. Exactly. You have to be PC and control the language.
Dude, his daughters, especially his almost 5-year-old, swear sometimes worse than I do.
She's not that bad. She's not bad.
I said sometimes.
She doesn't swear as much as her mother.
Nobody swears as much as her mother.
All right, what else we got?
Okay, so the Batman trailer.
You're like, holy shit.
Well,
oh, Batman.
Yes, Batman.
Well, related to that, we have the Justice League kill... Or wait, no. The Suicide Squad kills the Justice League.
That's a video game. Yeah.
It is a video game that comes out in like 2 years, but
oh yeah, I did
say,
see
the
that
trailer actually looks really incredible.
And it's a co-op video game.
I'm sorry, like,
but I mean,
sorry.
I mean, it's from Rocksteady. I expect a decent trailer from Rocksteady. We'll see how it plays and how it works everything into the Batman, because it comes out of Arkham is how they're doing the story, so I'm curious to see what they do. But yeah, 2 years? I'm fine waiting.
Well, I mean, the reason they're pacing it out so far is because they're doing the new Batman game before. I think that timeline's right.
But
it's Batman and then
or maybe they
Gotham.
Gotham Knights.
Yeah, but Gotham Knights isn't by Rocksteady. Yeah, Gotham Knights is not by Rocksteady.
No, but I'm saying DC is facing out the movie. That's why.
Yeah, I'm
it's
thinking...
Like, they're going to be about a year apart because they don't want to scalp their own IP. I mean, personally, it makes sense because DC... Like, the only thing they've really had that's been very successful is the Batman game. And the last thing they want to do is, like, kind of distract from that.
Those were fun.
I mean, it looks like Rocksteady did the Gotham Knights game. They're great games. So, I'm curious to see. I want to play as Nightwing, finally. And I'm excited to do that.
I
love that it opens up and Batman's dead.
I agree. I was really hoping we would get a Batman Beyond game. Because I feel like that would be the perfect Batman game.
I wouldn't leave that out, because it looks like DC's plan for the next 5 years is abuse the Batman IP as much as possible. So...
So that only makes sense.
Yeah, they have three TV shows, two movies, like four video games in the next couple years that are coming up, based mostly around Batman.
Well, the Batman. Second they do a Batman Beyond is the second I will actually play a Batman game. That's what it'll take.
You're such a naysayer.
That's entirely possible.
Wait, I don't like that, man. I never have.
Yes, but the Arkham games are amazing. They're so well done. I love the mechanics of that game.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I've heard really good things, and I've seen some really cool boss fights on it. But that doesn't mean I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
But I don't like who Batman is as a character. So, like, I think Batman Beyond is the only one that, like, really made sense. Because you have, like, an old-ass Bruce Wayne who survived all this and can properly, like, mentor someone. And they have Batman.
So then what are your thoughts on...
villains.
Right. So then what about the year one, year two Batman that we're seeing in the Robert Pattinson trailer?
Don't care.
Understandable, to be honest. You don't like the character.
Yeah, like... I just don't think Batman's an interesting character. I never have. I think, like, everyone likes Batman just because they think they could be Batman if they had money. And it's like, no.
Well, of course.
You can't
put some
be
hockey
Batman.
Pads on and a cowl. You're good to go.
I mean, they even addressed that in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's it.
That's one of the things I really liked about when they did The Dark Knight movie. Is they actually had people who are like, look, I can be Batman too. No, dumbass, you can't.
It's like, but that was a moral thing. Like, that doesn't even have anything to do with, like, the actual practicality of being a guy who runs around fighting and goes fighting every single night. Yeah, that's totally gonna happen. Like,
Fox first rule about Fight Club is like, you don't talk about Fight Club.
That is true. I mean, I don't know. Until I get that Batman, I don't care about other Batmans. Like, and I don't think we'll get it anytime soon.
And you're right. I wouldn't mind seeing Terry suit up. It's been a long dream to see the character in general. So, and we may still see that, and we may see that through Flash, because they're saying that Flash movie with Ezra Miller is somehow going to tie all of the multiverse together and bring in those other elements. We got Keaton that's signed on as Batman, and Affleck is staying. So I don't know. We got a lot of Batman running around.
Yeah, and apparently Affleck was very hesitant to do the Flash movie and made edits to the script.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, before we
so don't know what's up with that.
Before we move on real quick, I have a question for our comic book nerds here. Who exactly is Red Hood? And I always thought Nightwing was older Robin.
Both of them are technically older Robin.
Yes. Nightwing is Dick Grayson.
Okay.
Yes. Nightwing is Dick Grayson and Jason Todd is Red Hood.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also
Jason got revived. Yeah, Jason Todd got revived by a Lazarus pit, went insane, and put on the Red Hood after he, like, mellowed out. So it's kind of an ordeal story. It comes out of Batman Hush.
Okay. All right, yeah, because I was like, he's the only one I didn't recognize, and I was like, there is a lot of, like, oddly overlapping characters here.
Yes, they've all been Robins.
Yeah. Except for Batgirl.
I'm hoping. Batgirl may not be Barbara, because I was looking at it going, is that Barbara, or is that Cassie? Is that Stephanie? Is that somebody else? They all could have been Robins at one point. I don't know.
I'm wondering which one they're going to go with also on that one. I'm leaning towards Barbara just because of the... Oh, I guess not. It could be Cassie pretty easily, too.
Yeah.
I hope it's Barbara.
I mean,
and down the rabbit hole we go.
I mean, the Robin for sure is Damian, though. I mean, I think we can all agree that is Damian.
That's the one it has to be for the iteration of Batman that they're going, or seeming to be going with in this. It has to be Damian. It's like the actual Robin character.
Well, from what I'm seeing on, like, the Wikipedia, which God knows is probably bullshit, is that Dick Grayson is Nightwing, Barbara Gordon is Batgirl, Tim Drake is Robin, and Jason Todd is Red Hood.
Real?
Well, we don't know if that's Tim or if that's Damian for Robin. Because Tim ends up becoming Red Robin versus just Robin.
Okay.
Yeah, so
this is what happens when you read Wikipedia instead of the comic books.
Well, I'm sorry. There isn't that many details, and I watched the trailer once.
It's okay. At least you watched the trailer, and you are trying, and I appreciate that.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. So that's like, just things happening in DC on the
characters.
Yeah. All right. So far we've just talked DC, and that's just things happening on, well, potentially the big screen, but we don't know what's happening with movies anymore. And, and the small screen as far as...
We know Bill and Ted are coming out on Friday. That's all that matters.
Yes, this is true.
Hey, Smurf, I hear you fucking laughing over there. Like, it matters, okay? Speaking of, the Alamo opened, and, like, I was super tempted to go to see Bill and Ted with my sister. But I just can't.
Please don't take Baroness there. She is super immunocompromised.
What was that? All right, one at a time. Smurf, you first.
I know AMC opened up for 15 cents this last weekend. I know we've got Alamo, Bill and Ted, and there's something else coming out this coming week. Kingsman?
Yes, I'm super excited about that one, yeah. All I was saying is don't take Baroness to the movie theater. She's immunocompromised, and we don't need that.
According to what we have on the Alamo thing is the New Mutant and the personal history of David Copperfield.
This New Mutant is actually...
Ooh, I want to see that one. Actually, I want to see both of them. Yes.
I mean, I would like to see the New Mutants. I think it looks interesting. I don't think it looks good. I think it just looks kind of entertaining.
Well, I mean, that's actually one of the things that we have on the spiel to go over today is the director is saying it's a comic book film like no other.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Just like every other comic book film is a comic book film like no other.
So,
Every once in a while, that's true.
He says that it's, that this is coming from the director himself. So obviously, he's touting his own, trumpet and, but... is saying that it's better and bigger and more unique than anything that's ever been done with anything X-Men or mutant related ever before.
Sorry if you couldn't hear me yawn over that bullshit.
So, I mean...
That is literally every comic book director ever.
No, this is supposed to be a really dark movie, though.
I mean...
I agree with that.
Take a superhero, comic book movie and turn it into a horror flick. Like, that's really kind of the feel you're going to get from this film.
No, I mean, it looks cool. I mean, Dark Child isn't part of the original Mutants, but I'll go with it. It's New Mutants number one with Dark Child.
So, I mean, I think it's worth seeing.
I mean, I'll definitely see it.
Yes.
I don't expect it to be the revolution they profess it'll be.
Yeah, well, you are also the probably most cynical and snobbish of us all, which is one of the things we love about you.
I will not disagree with that. But, I mean, hopefully it'll be good. God knows, I'd like to knock Glass down from my favorite superhero film. I mean,
Sharknado is not a superhero film.
Excuse me?
Sharknado is not a superhero film.
Okay, just so you know, that it's Shark Week on Sci-Fi Channel, and they have ghost sharks and atomic sharks. So I feel like Sharknado is the least bad of those three options.
And I do know, we actually put up the Shark Week bingo link on our page so people at home could follow along with Shark Week and play Shark Week bingo.
I think you mean Sharknado Week.
Okay.
It's Sharknado's the only shark film that matters, so do you see how that works? As much as I love Deep Blue Sea...
What about Jaws? Jaws?
Hey, that's not a real movie, okay?
Oh, and Sharknado is!
Movie. Sharknado 4 was so good!
Oh, man.
Sharknado 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all real movies. The only real shark movies.
They have 5 Sharknados?
Yes, and Stash has seen them all.
I actually didn't even know that. Huh.
Hey, I support...
Like you've got an exciting weekend ahead of you.
I may mock your Sharknado love, but I do support your Sharknado love. Who got you those Sharknado sunglasses?
That's true, that he way overcharged us for, considering I spent $300 buying that box set.
Yeah, well, I only paid $3 for those Sharknado sunglasses, so...
Should have fucking given them to me for free.
Well, I paid for the Sharknado sunglasses, so it's okay.
True. Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Okay, so speaking of other things to watch that aren't Sharknado... There's a lot of stuff coming out on Netflix, or that's already on Netflix. You know, Lucifer, Season 5, Part 2, is already being talked about, because apparently Part 1 was not nearly sufficient enough for anybody.
Smurf?
No. No, it wasn't. Really? I agree 100% with that. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, I was like, you're the one who loves Lucifer. I got super pissed off after they broke the third wall and, like, got lazy writing towards the middle. And I was just like, after this bullshit, I'm done. But, I still feel like it was really interesting show.
It's still fun. It's still interesting. It's a drastic contrast to the comic. I love the characters. Tom Ellis is awesome as Lucifer. I love the staff. Love everybody.
Yeah, the characters are fantastic. The casting from it is just, I think the casting is super fabulous. The actors that they have in there are just, they have so much, you can tell that they have fun with the characters, with the way that they, like the little mannerisms and things.
When we even get kind of a flary music number from the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
Each episode is great.
But not enough. We need more.
Not nearly enough, no.
So, how many episodes dropped with this release?
I believe it was 5 or 6.
8.
8.
And so they're gonna only got do 8 episodes.
And they're probably going to do that exact quantity again for, like, the second part of the season?
And 5 into 2 parts.
Okay.
Yes. So they were finishing the last episode for season 5 when COVID hit. So that there's kind of a delay, I think, because of that, and they just wanted to break it up. And then we get season 6. And season 5 is totally setting up season 6, they said.
Yep, that's what they're saying. And that season 6, you know, is supposed to be something a completely new storyline.
All right. I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
New house.
I don't know. That's all they're saying.
We got angels fighting.
Dude, all they say is season 5 is setting you up for a completely new storyline. They tell us fuck and shit. They give us nothing.
Well, that's just disrespectful.
I think we're setting up the end of the world. Because season 6 is supposed to be the end. So I have a feeling they're just going to go out in a big old blaze of glory.
As it should be.
Sandman.
Oh, that would be nice. I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be nice.
That'd be awesome.
Anyways, Lock and Key is setting up, like, Sandman, because they found the key to the Sandman dimension, so they put it in, and that's how they're, like, bridging the Sandman storyline and Lock and Key together. Well, I'm excited to read that.
Well, I thought you were talking about the second season, and I was like, there's a second season already? How did I miss this?
No, this is something in the comics I had just read about day before yesterday.
That's really cool. I've always appreciated the Sandman as a character since Neil Gaiman's piece on him.
Well, actually, Lucifer and Sandman are both his properties. He's created the storylines and everything on both of those. So both of them are him.
Yep.
Oh, that's super cool.
Well, it's interesting to me to see how many things that Gaiman has done that have turned out so incredibly well and how many things that he's done that have turned out so incredibly shitty.
In the equal number right now.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, there are some names that you hear that you're kind of like, oh, I really want to see, like, what that's about. And, you know, Gaiman, you're just kind of like, it's a crapshoot. It's either going to be really entertaining and, like, developed and wow, or it's going to be a fucking mess and we're going to really have fun mocking it. But there's not really a lot of in-between.
That's very true. A lot of authors are like that, though. Like, they do one thing really successful, and then they do a bunch of shit that's just terrible. It's like, just because you were really successful at one thing doesn't mean you're going to be successful at everything you try.
Yeah. But, you know, He does cover a wide range of things. So, all right. Staying within Netflix, but kind of changing tunes just a wee bit from Lucifer, Tales of Arcadia.
All right. So, have you guys watched any of this? Like, it's such an interesting idea what they did.
Yep. I watched the whole series.
Like, yep. Different series. Because right now they have Soul Hunters, they have the alien one, and then they just came out with Wizards, which unfortunately doesn't look like it's going to finish quite the way I was hoping. But
and Wizards is not getting a second season.
Yeah, which it should, because I love Wizards. I think it's the most interesting one so far. But, like, I think it's a very strange way of structuring a TV show. But it reminds me of, have you guys ever heard of the podcast Night Vale?
No.
No.
Well, essentially, it's based in one city called Night Vale, and a bunch of, like, random happenings occur there. And it's essentially the same thing that's happening with Arcadia. And I think it was heavily inspired by Night Vale.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I've watched all of the Troll Hunters.
I watched the Troll Hunters.
Yeah, I mean... Actually, I started watching Troll Hunters with my mom because she's super into it, and then found out that my nephew is super into it, and then he was having me watch, like, oh, you have to watch 5 minutes from this episode, and then he jumped, like, a season, and then you have to watch 15 minutes from this episode. Oh, and I love when they do this part here. And so then I had to go back through and actually, like, binge watch it so I understood what the hell he was talking about for the next time I saw him. Because otherwise I was just sitting there nodding and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Because I thought I knew what Troll Hunters was because I'd seen the first, like, two seasons. And then I spent time with my nephew and I was like, I have no clue what the heck you're talking about, boy. Okay, cool. We will figure this out. And it's really interesting.
I was planning on skipping the Alien series because, personally, it didn't interest me that much. But, unfortunately, I was unable to because they reference it pretty heavily. So I went back and watched that.
Well, Three Below is a great... It really got a lot better.
Yeah, it got a lot better once it got, like, halfway through the first part. Because the first couple episodes, I was like, this is fucking stupid.
Yes.
But I stuck with it, and, like, when it finally concluded, I was very satisfied with the ending.
Yeah. Well, and then the movie that's coming out next year looks really good. So, The Rise of the Titans? The Troll Hunters Rise of the Titans movie?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's supposed to, like, tie everything together in one big finale.
Well, that would be cool.
And they have, the confirmed cast of all of the current voice actors and a few others, and... Like, you know, so they're finishing off the entire Tales of Arcadia with one big, you know, kick-ass movie.
That sounds cool.
That's coming out next year.
Really does. Like, this is a very unique structure for a series, and I actually look forward to seeing if other, maybe, live-action series will adopt a similar structure.
Yeah.
It's, like, where the main subject doesn't necessarily have to be the focus of everything.
Agreed. This is very... Oh, sure. Yeah. Del Toro even comes out and says, like, this is definitely, like, a passion project, you know, and something that he's just having a ton of fun with, and, you know, you know, he is saying that this is going to be, that the movie will be the big end to everything, but that this has been such a major thing for him and all of the people who's been working with, because this has been, you know, several years in the making.
Well, he didn't actually direct anything. He just wrote it, right?
Wrote it and produced
from what
it,
He produces it, though.
Yeah, but all you need to do is be recently, like, even somewhat connected to a film to get a producer role or credit.
Okay, well...
I don't know how hands-on he actually was with the execution, but I know he wrote it, and I think it's still, like, a very brilliant idea.
Well, it says that he's being active with the movie, according to the article that I've read. And looking at the preview, because it has quotes directly from him about how he's planning on wrapping it all up.
Interesting. I'm curious to see how they conclude everything, because they've already been working that direction.
Yeah, like, so...
I feel that, like, the end of Wizards is going to be a pretty natural conclusion point, which I'm not quite there yet, but I'm decently far. It's like, I think I have a couple more episodes.
Oh, I won't spoil it for you. Wizards has a great end. Wizards, great.
Good. I'm excited. I was hoping to finish it today, but I needed a break from a kid's show. I needed something a little different. It gets to be a little much. But it's...
Yeah, Tank wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Tank?
Wouldn't know anything about what part?
About taking a break from a children's show?
Yeah. No, not every day of my life. Yeah.
Come What's on, that after one? Watching Three Below, I wanted to start referring to myself as Varvatos. Varvatos is hurt and needs a snack.
Oh my god. Lame. I mean, I've watched all of...
Are you kidding? That is Nick Offerman. You take that back. Varvatos is not happy with your comments.
I refuse. I do really love their dog, though. Like, their weird dog, the alien thing. I can't remember the name of it. It had a super, like, oddly American name.
Probably. Yeah, it was like Spot or something like that.
No, it wasn't a dog name. It was like a person name. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, in all, like, I think it's a brilliant piece of writing, and I really hope Netflix sticks with kind of more unusual ideas like this. Because they have lately. We got that, Homegrown or something like that series that they did that was shot entirely in people's homes for COVID. Like, and they're all, like, under 10 minutes long with no budget to speak of. They were just directors and actors and family members who shot something when they were quarantined. Like, Netflix has really been pioneering a lot of very strange programming, and it's really good to see, because it's nice to get this variety finally after the standard, you know, 15 minutes, half-hour, hour-long shows.
All right, well, let's go on to that topic of things that Netflix has been doing that are a little different, and talk about Unwell.
Yeah, so I'm not going to talk about this too much, but I've never listened to a show that makes me so angry in my entire life. It's like, imagine... Like, essentially, Unwell talks about the wellness industry from a quote-unquote independent viewpoint, i.e. they flip-flop back on which side is right, like, actual science or the bullshit wellness community, and, like, just the way things are done in it is so interesting, but it's so horrible because it promotes like pseudoscience indirectly, and it's really something that like I've been struggling with a lot, because like it's hugely popular right now, and I feel like a lot of people aren't getting the message that this is showing you both sides of an argument, and it's not trying to promote one or the other. And I feel like a lot of people are going to latch on to a few details that support their own views and do that as science, and it's really a big issue, like a moral issue, when it comes down to their programs. It's like Netflix is responsible for promoting pseudoscience with this, even if the show was in some ways designed to argue against it. It's something that is deeply puzzling, and I really don't understand why, as a publisher, Netflix would do a series like this, because it is all them. It is all their show. I take it no one else has listened to it?
I have not watched it.
I watched it, and right away. Well, and right away, I thought of like the movie Road to Wellville with Matthew Broderick, and it is such a twisted little movie about like all, like the creation of Kellogg's and how it came into existence, and everyone in the 20s questing for better life and being better fit, and it was just all bullshit.
Yeah, it was to promote celibacy.
Kellogg.
Here's a. Kind of
I mean, it's interesting. I haven't watched it. I've read a couple of the articles about it when you sent me the request to put it on tonight's discussion. And so I'm just kind of like, after that, was reading up about it. And I was like, okay, proponents for tantric sex. Okay, cool. I'm in. Whatever. And then it's, you know, going into drinking breast milk. And I'm like, absolutely the fuck not. And then, you know, just kind of looking down. And one of the things that one of the articles about it was saying is, you know, and this is a direct quote. After all, in America, a month of Netflix is way cheaper than going to the doctor, even with insurance.
I mean...
So
accurate,
you know, but it's still saying it's not, you know, it's best to not treat Netflix as a source of medical information. You know,
well, even they have a warning at the beginning of the episode that says that, but how many people actually pay attention to that stuff? It's the exact same problem with like people who just skim the headlines of articles. And they don't actually read the articles and look into anything. It's like, this is a perfect example. It is like the archetype of that type of view, and it's really problematic.
Okay, but see...
It's so interesting to see.
But your point, Stash, is that Netflix shouldn't be publishing something like this because people are going to ignore that warning in the beginning. I think that if they're actually telling you both sides of the story and they're playing devil's advocate and they're saying, you know, for some people, drinking breast milk helps them with their life. And for other people, being told to drink breast milk is really freaking stupid. And they're actually going into that detail. And I don't know. I haven't watched any of it. But they're actually talking about both sides. Then I don't think that it's wrong to have that information out there. But, you know, it's like right after, you know, WebMD became available, everybody and their brother was like, oh my God, I have the sniffles. I must have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, that's what happens as soon as people get access to that information.
Netflix kind of painted themselves into this corner when they start doing these documentaries like The Toys That Made Us, The Movies That Made Us, The Video Games That Made Us. Now it's The Wellness That Made Us. Next week it's going to be The Booze That Made Us. It's just be this long string of nonsense that Netflix is just trying to entertain and fill time.
No, and especially in, you know, our current environment where what do we have to do? We have time to binge watch crap. Because a lot of people are still stuck at home. You know? Or you have people who are now working from home and like to have on background noise.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I usually do, is I usually have Netflix on in the background as I'm reading. But even still, like, I feel like Netflix bears a certain level of responsibility, and I feel like the way the show is structured, it kind of, I feel like it doesn't say what it needs to say, just because there is this warning saying that, oh, this isn't actual medical advice, doesn't mean that they're phrasing it in such a way that people can see the logical arguments that the interviewers are addressing. Because, like, they'll have people who
discuss certain things, and they're just like, yes, this is what I believe, and people don't understand that the entire structure of their argument is bullshit. It's just phrased like it's one person's belief, and that's not what it is.
I mean, okay, I understand what you're saying, but when it boils down to it, the movie or the show or whatever that Netflix has actually ended up in a lawsuit because of is not the Unwell, you know, miniseries or whatever. It's the new Sherlock Holmes movie that they're coming out with. They're being sued by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's estate because of this new movie.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you don't get credit, and boo on that transition.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get you to get off of a political topic. No, but seriously,
I don't know. I saw the trailer for this, and I'm just like, Sherlock Holmes never had a sister, ever, that I can remember, so throwing this out just because Millie Bobby What's Her Nugget from Strange Things is hot, let's just give her a movie. Just, yeah, I don't know. It's placating. It's like young Indiana Jones meets Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, there was actually
kiddie-ish, but okay.
There was actually a book series written about Sherlock Holmes's little sister. It was not done by the, you know, by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's estate or by him at all. It was done by Nancy Springer, right? A completely different independent author. But it was written, if Sherlock Holmes were to have a little sister, what would she be like? And so this movie is based off of that book series. This movie isn't, I mean, it's still, yes, you know, placating to the women and whatever, whatever. But it is actually based off of a book. It is not off of the original book, which is why apparently there is a bunch of lawsuits involved, because apparently Sherlock Holmes is portrayed in a way that does not fit with the way the Doyle estate wants him portrayed.
Ultimately,
they're not using his source material, so they have no leg to stand on.
You know, but if they went, well, apparently, using any sort of version of Sherlock Holmes, they have to license that character.
Yeah, but if they already licensed it, if they licensed it to the author of the children's stories, I'm guessing, or women's stories.
There, it's a YA book series.
Already have the license.
So, I mean,
it's a new media.
Yeah. And it actually does explain how the lawsuit works and everything in the article that I sent over in our agenda chat today, and I'll post this article on our page as well. But the Doyle estate is saying that the Sherlock Holmes character in the movie is too nice.
He is. It's Henry Cavill, and he smiles a lot, and he's very charming, and he's sympathetic towards the girl, and he's very cool. He's very, like, Witcher with a conscience. It's really strange.
And Sherlock Holmes is supposed to be kind of a douchebag dick, and they're upset but that he's not that way
not
in this movie.
Dick. He's just arrogant because he's so intellectually superior.
Mycroft comes off more like Sherlock Holmes than Holmes.
Are they taking anything besides the name? Or is it literally just, here's a story about a guy named Sherlock?
No, it's actually, this is my famous detective brother, Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
So it's if Sherlock Holmes, who was still everything that we know about Sherlock Holmes, were to have a younger sister.
Okay. So I was wondering, if they're not taking anything besides the name on it.
It's still everything about him.
Okay.
So.
We'll see.
So anyways, we'll see what happens with it. But it, you know, if nothing else, it gave me a less than super shitty segue to get Stash off of a political topic.
That was a super shitty segue. What are you talking about?
I didn't say it wasn't a shitty segue. I said it wasn't a super shitty segue.
I feel like it was a super shitty segue.
I think you're a super shitty segue. Okay, speaking of attractive men and seeing them half naked on TV screens, Carnival Row Season 2 is wrapped up, and soon we'll be able to see more naked Orlando Bloom. How about that for a segue?
White boy butt.
How's that for a segue, Stash?
Wasn't great. But
yeah?
It wasn't as bad as your previous one, so...
For those who have not seen Carnival Row on Amazon Prime, you very much should, as well as on Amazon Audible, there's a book written based on the storyline of the show. That is the book is the prequel to the movie, to the TV show, that was written after the show was released. And
good?
Yeah, the book is actually really good, and it goes into a lot of the character development of the characters, that the main characters in the show, primarily the Faye characters, or the Critch, you know, and so you get to kind of see who they are, and you know, the little comments that are made, like in the whorehouse, about, you know, being a poet laureate. And things like that, you get to learn a lot more about that, which is really interesting. So I enjoyed that Audible book, but I go through audiobooks like Stash goes through podcasts. You know, I always have at least one of them going on in the background while I'm doing whatever around the house or, you know, doing other work.
I'm proud of you, Bobby. That's a good background noise thing.
So,
I just get children screaming.
Yeah, we've noticed.
All right. I think that wraps it. Do we got anything else?
Yeah, we do. But big thing on Tank had sent over. We got a couple of things going on with The Thing reboot with John Carpenter.
Yeah, The Thing. There's already been a reboot of The Thing. We don't need any more.
That was a prequel.
The only reason I brought it up is I think it's good that they're supposedly bringing John Carpenter back here. And if that's the case, then it should at least be interesting.
As yeah, but the thing that I hate to like phrase a sentence like that. The thing that made The Thing so interesting was that it was a creature of its time. Like the special effects that were so eerie and weird are because they were so iconic to the time period of that film.
I agree for the most part, but I'd say that the story.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
Still interesting. Of the thing that you don't know what it is anymore? I don't know, that storyline.
Well, it makes you wonder what you would do in the same situation. Would you start just shooting people?
Yeah.
No, I think the storyline is very interesting. I don't know, man. I loved it so much because of those crazy 80s special effects. They were so good.
I understand that.
The Criddle blood monster.
I mean, cheese, man. There's a lot to be said for cheese in a movie. And the thing definitely had
cheese
associated with it.
Kurt Russell?
I know.
Oh, yeah, he Kurt Russell. Steak Blitzkin. Jack Burton. I mean, come on. You're not getting any better than him.
Exactly. It's like, who could you possibly reprise that role for? Like, we don't have actors like that anymore. Like, decent actors who just do really bad movies. Like, that's what he made his career on.
I will not have you be smirching the name of Nicolas Cage. Okay.
I would never. Okay.
I would.
He did great.
I very much would.
He did 8mm. Okay, that movie was awesome.
Yeah, but then he follows it up with Burning Man or some other nonsense.
What was that?
I said, sure, and then he follows up with, like, Burning Man or something. Nick Cage is just, I'm a Ghost Rider. Oh, nope, I'm out.
that movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he will forever be put the bunny back in the box.
In the box.
like, yep. That's it. So,
a decent number of fair movies. Like, he was really good in The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, 8mm, I guess.
And I can't think of any other movies he was decent in, but I'm sure there are some. Oh, no, he was great in Into the Spider-Verse.
Well, yeah, that's because we didn't get to see him, and he's Spider-Man Noir. I mean, the National Treasure films aren't bad.
I am trying to throw Tank a bone, okay? I'm trying to help him out.
Come on.
All right.
He was Daddy.
Yeah, he was Daddy.
Daddy Dearest. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
About Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona, I will give credit for that one. That one is super cheesy and stupid.
That's iconic crazy him, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he really acted. He just was himself.
But I feel that it's the same thing in, like, Magician's Apprentice. Like, he's also just iconic crazy.
That's... I don't know. It may be past his prime, though. I don't think that he could pull off a John Carpenter film at this stage. I really don't.
So
I don't think he could either. Unless he did something short and small, but he wouldn't want a small role. He'd want a lead role.
No. Oh yeah.
Oh, he cares.
He's Nicolas Cage.
All right, So Nicolas Cage and the Thing and, you know, John Carpenter and whatnots. But, you know, we'll see what happens because nobody has anything set on that. It's still in discussions at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, in other news, Apple and Epic are apparently getting ready for a cage match.
They're already in it. They're having their first
are getting ready to, you know,
today. It was actually earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really complicated. I don't know if we really have time to go into it. Just know that, like, Epic got tired of paying Apple and set up this whole thing to where they could sue Apple. And now they're in the lawsuit. And they're doing a bunch of weird shit in Fortnite to, like, make fun of Apple, which I think is super funny.
Just because it's super salty. Man, they just... they're just fucking with them at this point.
Oh, yeah. They're both, like, really bitter about this, and it's super entertaining to see two of the, like, most valuable companies in America go at it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that, because it's, you know...
Well, they have...
I mean, it's
reasonable that with...
I'm sorry?
...tired of paying such a high percentage to... Essentially the host company. And, you know, the developers getting screwed by that.
Yeah, I definitely support Epic in this. I don't necessarily support the way they're doing it, but, Apple needs to break open this lawsuit, or they need to break open their bullshit 30% always goes to them. And, like, honestly, the reason I like this is because this is the way that we get Game Pass on Xbox. This is how we get Game Pass and xCloud on Apple products, because right now they won't, because Apple's a pack of fucks. Well, I mean, I understand, like...
So, obviously, we're not going to ask Apple to sponsor our podcast anytime soon, so...
What a pack of fucks. Go ahead and go.
Well, it's not my fault. They're being fucking douchey about it, and it's
a warm pack of fucks.
Cool. Yeah, because they're closing down like huge avenues of developers because they just want money. And it's like, I understand, like, it is their service and their platform, and they want to curate things, but at the same time, you need to give creative freedom to developers. And if you don't, something like this will happen when people get fed up of it. And, I mean, that's the thing about Fortnite and Epic, is they are a big enough company that they can stretch this out to be the lawsuit it needs to be, because they have the money to do it.
Well, and
Epic has some good standing because with their store...
Right, well, plus...
They don't charge 30%.
Right, and Microsoft is supporting and endorsing Epic. Microsoft is standing with Epic on this.
Yes, they're supporting. Yeah, they're supporting Epic because they want Game Pass on Epic, on Apple.
Yeah, they have nothing to lose by supporting them.
I don't think it matters who they're supporting in this one. I think they're supporting the idea of pissing on Apple is what they're supporting.
Yeah, they are. But the funny thing is
exactly what it is.
Microsoft is also being sued by Epic at the same time, because they take a 30% cut as well.
Yep.
But the thing is, there's other avenues to download Fortnite. You don't need to do it through the Play Store with Android. So, like, their lawsuit isn't going to go anywhere. But the one against Apple, like, it's a very good point. It's just,
and let someone else fight it.
It's very complicated.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I said, let them fight it. Microsoft will just sit back and relax.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft is basically saying, yeah, you guys sue Apple. That's awesome. We'll just be in the corner.
That's exactly.
Hanging out.
Well, they've done it before. Epic is the somewhat prolonged history of...
We'll bring you some orange slices.
Companies to, like, fuck you guys.
You know? I mean, I think Microsoft kind of wants to be, like, the ring girl holding up, like, the sign. You know? Like, that's all they want to do right now. They want to be there. They don't want to be in the fight. They want to be in the little bikini, walking around with the board with the numbers on it. Like, that's Microsoft's role right now. They understand that the outcome will impact them, but they don't care because Apple is getting their name and, you know, everything, you know, kind of thrown at them. So Microsoft is just like, yeah, go for it. We totally support you guys. Yeah, ha. Now I have this really terrible image in my brain of Bill Gates' head on a ring girl body.
In a bikini?
Yep, like...
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was thinking of the Apple versus PC commercials from, like, 10 years ago.
Oh right. I'm a Mac. I'm a PC. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what I was envisioning, and it was not great.
Yeah. Okay, so we only had a couple more things on the super long agenda because we had to take a week, an extra week off, while I was super drugged up from throwing my back out, because that was fun. Crucible of War. Tank, you were saying this one comes out this week?
Yeah, Flesh and Blood. The TCG Flesh and Blood has their new set coming out this week. And the only reason I even brought it up is because recently Flesh and Blood has been getting a lot of attention in the TCG community. A lot of people are loving the game, and to the point where the older sets are starting to already increase in price, which is really surprising for such a young game. I think it's only been out for a little over a year, something like that. And a lot of people like it. They're actually kind of comparing it to the original version of Magic. Like the old Alpha Magic.
Well, I had not heard that.
So, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of an interesting thing that they're, you know, there's another competitor in the TCG thing that actually looks interesting. And it's, you know, so it's not just being dominated by basically Magic and Pokemon.
Interesting. Yeah, the only thing I really have to contribute at this point to that is one of my favorite white cards in Cards Against Humanity, being, you know, the heartbreaking cry when all of the Magic card players realized how much money they've spent on just pieces of cardboard. Yeah.
They have collector's value, okay?
I'm not discounting that. I'm saying it's one of my favorite cards to play in Cards Against Humanity. You know, because when you play that game, obviously you play that game with a bunch of other nerds. You know.
Nerds? In this time and place? How dare you?
I don't know any, but I've been told that they exist.
That is true.
All right. Okay, so I think Stephen King's The Stand TV adaptation premiere date has been announced for December this year. It will be on CBS All Access.
Of course.
Post-apocalyptic.
I thought they already did like mini series of this a couple of years ago.
Probably.
I believe they did. They did do I think a mini series on Stand a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's Stephen King. He can resell the same property a million times.
Yeah. He's pretty good. So,
I don't even think it was him at this point. They're probably coming to him for ideas. They're like, hey, can we redo this again? And he's like, sure, I don't care.
Yeah,
give me money.
So apparently it was originally done in 1994 as a miniseries. And then, you know, so I guess they figure it's been long enough, so they're bringing it back. And if I'm reading this article correctly, it's going to have Whoopi Goldberg and Heather Graham.
Oh, as the old woman in Boulder that fights the rats? That'll be awesome.
So it appears. So, yeah. So Whoopi will be back on TV and not just at a talk show table. So... and very final thing we had on our, oh my God, this is what happens when we miss 2 weeks instead of just going every other week, on our super long agenda for tonight, Crunchyroll introduces new membership tier for anime services. It sounds super pervy, but I assure you, it's only as pervy as you want it to be.
Well, it's anime, so...
Which is why I said it's only as pervy as you want it to be.
No, because anime is pervy even if you don't want it to
be. Oh, tentacle tier!
Sorry.
Oh, look, there's a free tier, yo, $0 a month. Fan tier, $8 a month. Mega fan, $10 a month. Ultimate fan tier, $15 a month. Or the one that's not listed here includes free tentacle from Bad Dragon. Huh. Interesting.
Tentacle dick. See, I told you.
You know, I'm telling you, if an anime streaming site and Bad Dragon were to team up, the amount of money they could make... It doesn't even have to be Bad Dragon. It could be any particular, you know, toy shop that sells other types of things. Bad Dragon just happens to be my, you know, creative toy shop of preference. You know, because they're fun. And you can then have a tentacle that sits on your coffee table. And people come over and they're like, why do you have a tentacle sitting on your coffee table? And you're like, oh, because... That's my fabulous tentacle, and it's beautiful. So, yeah. But with all of these different things, you can either watch new episodes or access to anime library or offline viewing or all of those other such things, depending on how much you're willing to pay.
If that's the thing you're into, Crunchyroll's not a bad option, honestly.
Yeah, Crunchyroll it's the best service for anime, but unfortunately they don't have anything for my TV, so I can't use them.
Well, I know they have it's not their full service obviously, but I know they're also connected with HBO Max right now on their thing.
Oh really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Can you cast to your TV from like a smart device, a phone or tablet or something? If you have like a Fire Stick or whatnot?
No, I normally have no problem doing that, but something specific about Crunchyroll won't do it because they use their own service to broadcast the anime, so they don't use the they don't use the background of any other app, so my TV won't adapt to it. I can use the browser, but viewing it through the browser degrades the quality, and like getting it to fit the screen does really weird stuff, and not great.
Yeah. So as long as you don't have Stash's TV, you'll be fine. It'll work out really well.
Yeah, I mean, they have a really good service. They have Goblin Hunter that I've always wanted to watch because I like goblins.
Well, that's everything I had on my extensive list for our discussions. Does anybody else have anything else that we may have missed?
Go read comic books.
Yes, read lots of comic books.
Go read real books.
Also do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And play Samurai Jack, because that game is amazing. Oh, speaking of, have you played it at all yet, Smurf?
Not yet, I haven't, no.
Oh, well, sounds like
you're
a bitch.
Did you get it for Xbox, or did you get it for... No. No, just having that time.
Yeah.
Did you get the little statue that came with it, where he's coming out of the time vortex?
No, I couldn't. Like, where did you get that from? Because... still you, because I've put, like, 20 hours into that game already. And
now,
honestly,
now, boys, boys,
yes,
it, you can both be a bitch.
And I have spent 20 hours enjoying my statue of Samurai Jack coming out of a time vortex.
You're lying. Now what? Through your teeth.
No, I am not. I am not. Look it
yes,
up.
Yes, you are.
Look up the collector's edition. I'm not. Look it up.
I believe it's a thing.
What?
But, like, I don't know where you bought it from, because I checked Best Buy and GameStop, and both were only selling digital editions.
Smurf has already gone into this.
Actually,
he has
GameStop
a hookup.
I wasn't carrying it. I went to direct. I bypassed the stores. I said, fuck that. I got connections.
Like I said, we've already had this discussion, and Smurf was bragging about his hookup, and then we discussed your love of Samurai Jack and the fact that you need the suit for a cosplay so you can be what's his name, who I can't remember at the moment. The purple suit.
Oh, Scaramouche.
Yes.
Scaramouche.
Yes, so we need to get you
Scaramouche.
The...
Scaramouche.
So, but that is going to be a cosplay that we have to work on for Stash, because of all of the people we know in our lives, Stash can totally pull off that suit.
It's like, okay, that would be probably like $5,000 to $1,000 cosplay. I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
I'm telling you, we just need to figure out the fabric, and then, you know, you happen to know people who sew, and we can make you the suit.
No, man, we'll see. We'll figure things out.
On a similar note, I don't know what my next cosplay is going
to
be.
In the meantime, I'll get to the game this week.
All right. What's Tank's next cosplay?
Lobo from the Super Monsters.
Do you have any choice in that?
Nope.
Who's everybody else going to be? I'm just curious now. No, I'm just curious who everybody else in the family is going to be, because they always do a group cosplay. For Halloween last year, Tank was King Triton.
Yes, I was. Scarlet is going to be Katya, the little witch. I don't know who Steph's going to be yet. And then Julia is going to be the little abominable stunner.
Nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I approve of this message.
Sorry. Just thought it was.
All right. Well, on that adorable note, are we ready to call it a night? Because it is past my bedtime.
Yes. Stash needs all the beauty sleep he can get.
That is 100% accurate.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
And I'm going to go and adore my Samurai Jack statue.
Yeah, adore it while you can, because your bitch ass is going to get robbed.
There is so much love on this podcast.
And on that... Yes, there is. And on that bombshell, we shall say goodnight. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with the latest, greatest nerd news. Give us a like, give us a share. Thank you for listening. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.